America's biggest Labor Day party is back with the loudest lineup yet. This August 30th through September 1st in Pryor, Oklahoma, with, for the first time ever, Avenged Sevenfold, Slipknot, Disturbed, Evanescence, plus A Day to Remember, Lamb of God, and many more. Passes and camping on sale now at rocklahoma.com, starting at $10 down.
What's up, everybody? It's John Bush from Armored Saints, sitting here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You are on the road to rock.
Hi, everyone. This is Eric Martin, the lead singer for the band Mr. Big, and you are on the road to rock with Clint Switzer.
Thank you so much, man. I love talking about the things that I love, Clint, and for you to allow me to do it with you. God bless you. God bless the Heartland. God bless America.
You are now on the road to rock. It's not just a podcast. It's an unabashed celebration of rock's living legends. And now, please welcome your host, the master of your rock and roll road trip, Clint Switzer.
And we are officially off and running here into the spring and summer months here on the road to rock. What a busy start to 2024 it's been, and I apologize for the lack of interviews, the lack of shows here to start 2024. It all started with the Chiefs in Super Bowl 58, winning that. I was on the road covering that game in Las Vegas, and I just got back from a two-week trip to Hawaii. So things have been pretty busy here to start 2024, but things are getting back to normal as we are off and running. It's April, which means summer concert season is just around the corner, and that's a big reason why this show is happening here, as it is also Rocklahoma ticket giveaway season. You can go to our Facebook page right now, On the Road to Rock with Clint Switzer, and you can see how you can get signed up to win a pair of weekend passes to the biggest party of the summer. It's going to be Labor Day weekend in Pryor, Oklahoma. As we know, I have a long history with Rocklahoma, going in 2007 to the first festival as a fan. And it was an incredible weekend. It was like Woodstock for me and my friends that were all big fans of 80s rock. You know, bands like, you know, Rat and Poison, Vince Neil, Cinderella, Dokken, Twisted Sister, Queensryche, LA Guns. I mean, it was just an unforgettable three-day weekend. And now the festival's evolved. And there are bands from all subgenres. And, you know, it is America's biggest Labor Day party, and it returns. Rocklahoma's back for another legendary year, spotlighting 40 plus of your favorite artists across three stages. Celebrate life, liberty, and the pursuit of rock with Slipknot, Disturbed, Evanescence, A Day to Remember, Avenged Sevenfold's first ever Rocklahoma performance in Pryor, Oklahoma, this coming August, with passes starting at just $10 down. It's never been easier to secure your spot at America's biggest Labor Day party. So go to rocklahoma.com right now. You can get all the info on camping, on tickets. The weekend passes are available. Use code ROKPARTY to use the pre-sale. And Rocklahoma is just an event that means a lot. I'll be there again covering. Last year was probably the biggest Rocklahoma for me, just as a member of the media covering the festival. Because think about all the interviews from last year. Gavin Rossdale from Bush. You know, we had Gwar, Asking Alexandria, Crobot, Kix, so many more. It was such a blast. And that should continue this year with all the big acts. It's going to be tremendous. It's going to be huge. So we always love partnering with Rocklahoma to help promote that festival, because, you know, I go back to the beginning with Rocklahoma as a fan. So make sure you're on tune, you know, on board with that. And with that being said, on this week's podcast, we're going to go back into the archives a little bit, as I had an interview set up with Guernica Mancini from the band The Gems, Swedish all-female band. They are an offshoot of the band Thunder Mother, which kind of went its separate ways and broke up. Now The Gems are here and rocking with their new album Phoenix. We had that interview set up, but it had to be moved to early next week. So that interview with Guernica Mancini, and I believe Mona from The Gems as well, going to be joining it. That'll be next Friday. So this Friday, we had to kind of go back into the archives and do a remix, if you will. This is an interview that I did back in 2021 with guitarist from Winger, formerly of Whitesnake as well, Black Swan, Reb Beach, one of my favorite guitarists of all time. Now, this interview at the time I did it, I had to record it like while I was on the road somewhere, I think in a hotel room, and had some technical difficulties. We were supposed to do this video interview with Skype back then. This is before Zoom was really all that prominent. And anyway, the interview wound up airing, but in a very limited capacity. So what I did is I went back and I cleaned up this interview as best I could. The audio's decent. You can definitely at least hear Reb very well. It's like my microphone was not working properly or something, but I got it cleaned up the best I could to kind of go back and use this as a remix and re-put the interview out there, because Reb Beach is one of my favorite guitarists, one of the great guitarists in the genre, and Winger is playing at Rocklahoma this year. So it's, I believe, their first appearance at Rocklahoma since the original back in 2007. So this is going to be awesome to go back, and this is the first and only interview I've ever done with Reb, and kind of to coincide with this Rocklahoma announcement, the ticket giveaway, which you can go to our Facebook page right now to get involved in. Wanted to, you know, go back and get an artist that's going to be at Rocklahoma this year, and to be able to go back and get an interview out there that previously had been put in the can. I was like, I don't know. I think I did air it on a podcast years ago, back when the show was called Music Mania, but this is a remix of the podcast. This is Reb Beach talking about, at the time, it was the 30th anniversary of In the Heart of the Young, one of my favorite albums from Winger, and Reb disagrees. He's apparently not a fan of that album. This is back when Black Swan, I think, had just released an album. He had a solo album out via Frontier. So we're going to take you back into our 3 years ago machine to a time when I did this interview with Reb Beach and really get it back out there in the forefront, because of course Reb is one of the most influential guitarists of the 80s, and he's still tremendous today. Winger just released their album 7, which came out, I believe, last summer. So we're still kind of in that Winger mode. So this is a perfect time to bring back the Reb Beach interview. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you'll go to our Facebook page, On the Road to Rock with Clint Switzer, to enter for 2 weekend passes to Rocklahoma, the biggest party of the summer. It's coming up August 31st, Labor Day weekend. So without further ado, let's go back to 2021 and talk to Winger guitarist Reb Beach.
How's it going? I kind of kick it off from the beginning. We had a little intro, but it's great to have you on. How in the world are you, man? You look great.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I'm doing pretty well. I am just lucky that I have enough of a name so that I can give guitar lessons, you know. So I've given about 200 guitar lessons, and that's kind of how I'm making a living right now. And then going back and forth to Nashville. I'm going back on Monday just to write the new Winger.
I saw the guitar lessons being offered on your website or via your social media on Facebook. What has that been like for you? Have you been getting some?
I love it.
So has it been fun? Like getting some good guys? I mean, has it been cathartic in a way?
No, it's 99% of it is awesome. You know, once in a blue moon, I get like a guy I just don't like. Or someone who's just really full of themselves, you know, and just wants to show me how great they are for an hour, you know. But 99% of it is just most of it's talking. You know, I talk to people all over the world, and you know, I've got one couple in the UK, and they do it once a week, and I'm like their Netflix, like every Thursday night. So they just ask me questions about David Coverdale and Kip Winger and Don Dokken and what's it like to tour and the whole thing. And I just sit there and tell them road stories. And I have all kinds of different students. I'm learning a lot as well. But mostly it's just talking with people. And I've made some new friends, actually. One guy, I don't even charge him anymore. We text all the time. We're just friends now.
That's incredible. So it's basically like this right here, only I just happen to know your publicist, so it worked out. It worked out that way. So, hey.
It's exactly like this.
Dude, I'm so happy to have you on the Music Mania podcast. This is the first
camera.
Exactly.
Is what they see.
So this is the first Winger member we've ever had on. Now, we have had your close friend and confidant, Joel Hoekstra, many times from Whitesnake on.
Mm-hmm.
What's it been? What's the last year been like for you? I know we touched on this kind of before we went to recording here. The last year, man, things shut down around March. How many dates did you get taken off the books, and kind of what's this last 8-9 months been like for you? Obviously, we'll get to the solo album you've released. But what's it been like for you personally?
Well, it's a drag. You know, I was set to have the best year I've had since, you know, I was in Singapore when the rest of the tour got canceled. So I had to fly back from Singapore. And, you know, I was really looking forward to Sammy Hagar tour. That was going to be awesome.
With Europe or Night Ranger? With Night Ranger, right?
Yeah, in the States. In the States. And then we had Japan, of course. And, you know, some of the shows in Australia got canceled. It was just very upsetting because I was ready for a great year. And I love touring so much. I'm not a homebody. I like being out there and traveling and performing. I need to perform. It's just in my blood. So, yeah, that was upsetting. But, you know, you deal with the cards that you have. And I've just been given lessons. And, you know, I've done a couple of social distance shows that, you know, here and there. But it's not as fun when there's social distance, you know.
You did a couple Dawkins shows over the summer. And it was crazy because you had George Lynch Mob opening, Red Beach back in Dawkins for a few. It was just crazy. And that was awesome for the people that got to see that. What a treat.
Now, George canceled. George canceled.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah, so it was just us. But, you know, we were playing a 1,500-seater, and there was 250 people there. So it was just, you know, they were all spaced out at the amusement park. So
I've been to that place, that hot springs place. I've been there. I know that place. That's awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, it was super fun playing Dawkins songs. I mean, I love those songs, and the band is really great, and I got to be friends with them. So I'll probably work with them again in the future on something else. You know, we'll probably put something together one day.
Well, in the meantime, it's been a month since your solo album of You From the Inside has come out. It's an instrumental album. I know we touched on it kind of before, but I mean, this thing is really good. I the rockpit.net called it the greatest hard rock instrumental album ever. Pretty high praise when you think about the company you're in.
Well, yeah, I'm really glad that guy thought that. You know, that was awesome. And it read really well. But that was his one opinion. You know, I don't know that it's better than Surfing or Passion and Warfare, but I did work very hard on it, and I'm very proud of it, for sure. And it is getting really good reviews. So, and it's done everything that I wanted it to do. You know, people are saying and getting from it what I wanted them to get from it.
And you said it, you know, kind of tongue in cheek, that this is 20 years. It took you 20 years to do this, right? It was a 20 years kind of in the making.
Well,
I mean, just...
Go ahead.
Talk about that. I mean, just how you kind of structured this. You have the songs range from kind of moody, melodic to, you know, hard rock to jazzy to fun. I mean, there's just so much going on here. Just how did you kind of structure this? I mean, was there a flow that you wanted to get out, or was it just something that kind of manifested itself?
Well, after, you know, I was halfway done, I did kind of put some thought into, okay, what do we need now? You know, okay, now we have a funk song. What else is there? You know, how can I make it more interesting? Because that was the whole thing, to do an instrumental record that doesn't lose the listener. So, you know, you don't want to always have it sounding exactly the same. You know, I've heard instrumental records that it's just all guitar. And it's the same sound for 45 minutes. Just, you know, no, I want melody, and I want something that you kind of remember, something that makes you feel a certain way. Great for driving down the street, you know, kind of like Surfing was, you know, it had, you know, rock songs and boogies, and it had, you know, mellow little ditties, you know, with a little hi-hat and a kick. That's kind of where I was coming from. But I also wanted other instruments, kind of like Jean-Luc Ponty, who's my favorite instrumental artist, or the Dixie Dregs, you know, where they keep it interesting with solos from different players. But the story about the record is that it was 1986 I wrote Little Robots. It was the first instrumental song I ever wrote. And then I wrote Black Magic and Cutting Loose in 1989. So when Winger broke up basically in 93, I thought, well, maybe I'll be like a Joe Satriani kind of guy and I'll just do instrumental rock music. And, you know, maybe that will always be cool and I won't be, you know, flushed down the toilet like all the other 80s bands were, you know, in 1994 when Nirvana came out and Beavis Butthead and all that, you know, instrumental rock and guitar music is, you know, always relatively cool. So that was my plan. I shopped it around. I made demos and I shopped them around. No one would sign it because it didn't have vocals. So I put it on my website for sale called The Fusion Demos, 6 songs recorded horribly. And it sold like hotcakes. And people were telling me, this is the best thing you've ever done. This is what you need to do. Please, please, please make this record for 20 years. So when I was home from the road, which was rarely, I would, plug in and write a little ditty and make it a little better in here and a little better there. And I did it over a period of many years. And it was sitting on my hard drive when COVID hit. And I was talking to Kip Winger, what do I do? Like, what are we going to do? And he said, whatever happened to that fusion stuff you were working on forever? I said, oh, it's done. It's done. He said, well, let's throw some drums on there and sell it. I said, oh, great idea. And that's what we did.
That's
long story.
Really good.
Sorry about that long-winded.
I love it. That's what we want. That's out through Frontiers Music. It's been out a month. The reviews are fantastic, like we said. I mean, is it, if anything, you know, look for the silver lining in things, right? We try to do that. We try to find the positivity. So in a year that saw, well, it started well for me, Reb, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. I'm from Kansas City. Chiefs win the Super Bowl in February and the world sort of goes downhill from there. But yeah, looking for the silver lining, you had the time, you had the means, and this album got to come out. It's something that fans have wanted to see for so long. So silver lining, the one positive thing maybe comes is this album. That's got to be, that's a good thing, right? That's maybe the one good thing.
No. Like I said, when we were talking earlier, I think everyone's going to have a new album next year. So there's going to be this push of all new records. And I don't know why it is exactly, but when a band puts out a new record, they do better when they go out live. They get more people to come to their shows. When we did the Purple album with Whitesnake, we were more successful touring that year than any other year I had been in Whitesnake, which has been 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that Purple album tour, man, was sold out everywhere we went because we had a successful record behind us. So, you know, Winger's looking forward to getting this record out and doing a tour. And of course, with View from the Inside, I really want to play that stuff live. That would be so much fun. And I could do some songs off of Masquerade, which is my solo album from 2003 that I'm really proud of. I'd love to sing a couple songs off of that. And then Masquerade 2 is going to be my next thing, and it's not going to take 15 years. It'll probably take a couple.
Well, you know, in a perfect world, what does 2021 look like for you? Because you know, I know you've had some Winger dates on down the road. David Coverdale says he wants to retire at age 69. That's sort of his, if you know David, he's the most tongue-in-cheek humor person in the world. So he says 69, and that might be good for him, right? So in 2021, a perfect world. Exactly.
Yes.
Not that he looks it, but what does it look like? What does 2021 look like for you kind of in a perfect world here?
Well, David said in an interview that he's thinking 2021 might be out for Whitesnake. So in that case, you know, it's going to be Winger all the way for 2021. And, you know, of course, we're halfway through with our new album. I'm going there Monday to continue on with Kip, you know, pulling our hair out, trying to, you know, throwing away 15 ideas for every one good idea. It's got to be, you know, like the first Boston record. Just every song is good. That's what we're going for. Just undeniable, great songs. And, you know, it's hard to keep it progressive and keep it fresh and new and like nothing we've ever done before. You know, there's a lot of kind of hurdles on the thing. But so, no, 2021, it's going to be a lot of touring with Winger as soon as the vaccines get going, you know, and we want to go to Europe and Japan. and kind of broaden our base with Winger. I would love to do some kind of shows on either like a Generation X or G3 tour with this thing, you know. And then I'm writing for Masquerade 2. Also, Black Swan is we're trying to figure out a schedule for when we can all get together, and or me and Jeff can get together, and Robin, and get that happening. So there's all kinds of coals in the fire.
I was going to bring up Black Swan because I was such a fan of the first album you guys did. And Robin McCauley came on the show to promote it around that time. Jeff Pilson's a good friend of ours. I mean, Black Swan, that album was so cool. And it's just one of those unfortunate things. It feels like it didn't get the legs it deserved because it comes out kind of, you know, at the beginning of 2020, it kind of ended 2019, beginning of 2020. And then like stuff goes awry and it kind of just, you know, I
don't
know,
man. Man, that record did really well.
Exactly.
For Frontiers. Frontiers made good money on that record. That's why I think they want another one, you know? And it kind of starts with me, like all the pressure's on me for the beginning of every record because, well, with Winger and Black Swan anyway, because it starts with a guitar riff. So I sit here in my garage and just try and come up with guitar riffs all day long. Like for Black Swan, I came in with 50 ideas for Jeff. And, you know, Kip had heard most of those ideas and just said, no, because they weren't right for Winger. But they were fine for Black Swan, which is just straight ahead rock. It doesn't have to be too progressive or weird or out there or, you know, it just can be. And Robin McCauley can just sing over dun, 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 dun. Like that could be the riff and it would still be an awesome song because of Robin McCauley, you know. So anyway, it's up to me to come up with some riffs for this next time that me and Jeff get together. But I'm looking forward to a new Black Swan for sure.
I loved it. Would love to see that. Do some shows at some point. I know that's pie in the sky. And Jeff's a little busy as well. I mean, my gosh.
Jeff's busier than I am. Jeff's insane.
If that's possible.
Foreigner goes out, Foreigner will be out like, boom! They're going to be out like a, you know, shot on a rubber band, man.
Reb, I got to bring this up because in July, we celebrated the anniversary of the In the Heart of the Young album. To me, the seminal Winger album, certified platinum. So many big hits from Can't Get Enough, Easy Come, Easy Go, Miles Away. When you look back on it, you know you've done something right when you start celebrating anniversaries. 30 years, it's great to see this. I think the album's tremendous. Kind of just looking back, does it feel like 30 years? And do you feel like this was Winger's best album in hindsight?
Oh, God, no. That's
Paul,
probably
really?
Least favorite, yeah.
So yours is Paul then.
Yeah, you know it.
Mine too.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Heart of the Young, you know, we didn't have Easy Come, Easy Go or Can't Get Enough. And they were going to release Miles Away as the first single for that record. And we knew that would be the kiss to death because every band that was coming out with the power ballad back then was bombing because, you know, they were getting this label as the power ballad band. And that did happen when we released Miles Away, even though it was our biggest selling single, album sales stopped as soon as that came out. We wrote Easy Come, Easy Go and Can't Get Enough in one day. We wrote Can't Get Enough in a half an hour. And because they were going to release Miles Away first. So in one day we wrote those two songs and they became the first two singles and it did well. And they turned out being right. We did need some more poppy songs on there because the first song was Day We'll Never See, which is, you know, kind of progressive, weird. We finally got the record we wanted to make, though, that didn't have to have the big pop singles because we got rid of we parted ways with Bo Hill and that whole kind of Atlantic thing, you know, and went on our own with Pull. And that's why it's every musician's favorite from Winger is Pull.
And The Day You'll Never See is my favorite song from that. So that's interesting that was kind of the first one.
That was the first song on the album.
That's crazy, yeah, because it's kind of down the a deep cut, you know, from the album, and yet it's was first. I'm a huge fan of it. Pull is another level of musicianship that Winger deserves because you guys are all so tremendous. I got to ask you about Whitesnake because we talked about Joel Hoekstra being a friend of ours. You guys are, you know, dueling guitarists in Whitesnake. you played with Doug Aldrich, of course, prior to that. Whitesnake has always had that seminal guitar god, whether it be Adrian Vandenberg, whether it be John Sykes. I mean, David Coverdale seems to know what he's doing, yourself. What's it like, though, you know, in Whitesnake, kind of playing with Joel, and kind of how do you guys handle those duties? How do you guys handle the trade-offs on those songs?
It's kind of up to me. I'm the music director for it. So basically, I just split it all in half. I mean, if I hear something that's more up Joel's alley, like Still of the Night, that's not my – I'm not a Sykes guy. I can't do that Sykes stuff to save my life. So I'll give that one to Joel. I took Crying in the Rain because I love that solo, and I am playing that solo. After 17 years, I get to play that solo. And he's fine with that, you know. But we basically – I just split it up evenly so there's no weirdness or anything. And he's cool about it, you know. You know, it's great to have Joel in the band, who is such a – you know, he just studies guitar just every day. And, you know, he's such a perfectionist, you know. Really, really something. He'll show me how to play stuff. I'm like, how's that go again? And because we all know that Joel did his homework better than any of us, you know. Even though I'm the music director, I asked Joel, like, how do you play that again? So it's great to have him. And I miss Doug Aldrich. I actually got to hang out with Doug on the cruise. We had dinner, and it was such a great dinner. We had such a wonderful time, and he's just a lovely guy. And really, really, really connected with him the last time I saw him.
Well, Red, before we let you go, I want to make sure everybody gets to the proper place to pick up the new solo album, which is A View from the Inside. I am assuming the best place would probably be to at your Facebook page, at Red Beach on Facebook. There's all the links right there. And, of course, on all the digital platforms, is that probably the best place to get a hold of you there for guitar lessons and everything else, right on the Facebook page, right?
Probably, yeah. But, you know, Clint, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to my record and all the kind words you said about it. It means so much to me that you really listen to it and that you really like it. And I just thank you for that. You can get it on Amazon, you know, or iTunes, or just all the normal places that you would get a record. I'm terrible at my website. I'm just the worst. I got to update that stuff. I'm just the worst media guy. I definitely need a manager. You know, I need something.
Well, you know, I'm available. It's 2020, you know. Reb, it's crazy because this interview is a bit of a dream come true, if you don't mind me sharing a personal story. I'm 36, but I grew up with this. My uncle showed me all the ropes from Kiss to Led Zeppelin to Motley Crue to Winger. And I met you outside Kansas City, Missouri, at the Beaumont Club, if you remember that club here in Kansas City, the old Beaumont Club, 2009. I was like 21, barely old enough to drink at the bar, and saw Winger. We had a picture outside the tour bus. So here we are 11 years later, you know, kind of work in the field now, and here you are on the podcast, man. This is pretty cool. I treasure that photo, me and you. It's very pixelated. It's from like an old phone. So yeah. You can barely tell who it is, but, you know. Still, you know, the circle of life, I guess, as we say. Pretty cool.
Well, that's really cool. So next time we come to Kansas City, you know, I'll get you backstage and we'll hang out a little bit.
Sadly, the Beaumont Club has since been torn down. We're going to find you guys something better. We're going to get this thing back to normal, Reb. I tell you, we're all hopeful. We all know that the good times are ahead. In fact, you guys probably should have saved that Winger title from the last album, Better Days Ahead. Maybe that should have saved that.
You know, we did make that video. I don't know if you saw it, but we made a video with Alice Cooper and Klaus Meine.
Yeah.
Look it up. It's really, that song, Better Days Coming. And what we did was we got people from around the world to send their videos of them singing Better Days Coming. And we've got, you know how they do it with Zoom and everything. Yep. There's like 100 tiny little videos all on your screen at once. But they were all singing at the same time. And, you know, we played it live. It was very, very cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. And better days are coming. Reb, thank you so much for doing this, man. Can't thank you enough.
Sure, Clint.
Continued success. Stay safe and stay healthy, man. And we'll see you out there in 2021 somewhere out there on the horizon. You're in enough bands. We should be able to make this happen.
I hope so. I hope so soon. I'm ready to go, baby. Just tell me when.
You bet, buddy.
I'll be out the door.
Hey, thank you again. Better times, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, Clint. Thanks a lot.
You bet.
Okay.